9:20 a.m. and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Where did you spend Thanksgiving Day? Four astronauts and three cosmonauts spent it on board the International Space Station.
The space station crew getting some time off with their thoughts not just on their mission, but on friends and family back home. Astronaut Nicole Mann.
To our family and friends and all those following along the mission, we are thankful that you're able to be a part of Expedition 68 with us. It is the love of friends and family that help make dreams come true.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Doctors are worried that the flu and RSV are spreading fast. CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPook says, protect yourself.
If you're around people, you know, a lot of crowded situations, I know everybody is fed up with masks, but say you're boarding a plane or you're getting off the plane, you know, pop on the mask. It's not so hard to do. And if you want to take it off later, that's fine.
And now begins the Christmas shopping rush, says CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Whether you're planning on doing your holiday shopping at a small store or a major retailer, experts say the key to finding the best deal is doing your research using an online price tracker and checking to see if a store has a price match policy. And they say you may not want to wait too much longer because most retailers have already slashed their prices significantly.
The co-owner of the nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where five people were shot and killed Tuesday, says anti-LGBTQ hate has now evolved from prejudice to incitement. Nick Grzeka said politicians who call transgender people groomers have bred violence. President Biden told reporters Thursday he'll try to push an assault weapons ban through Congress before Republicans take control of the House in January. CBS's Natalie Brand says that is just one of many matters that will need the president's attention.
When the president returns to the White House after spending the holiday in Nantucket, a full plate of urgent domestic issues awaits him. Thursday, he said his team has been in touch with the parties trying to head off a nationwide freight rail strike that could snarl the transport of vital goods.
I have not directly engaged yet because they're still talking.
A walkout could start early next month if unions and railroads fail to agree on a new contract soon.
Police in Aurora, Illinois, rescued a 9-year-old boy who'd fallen through the ice in a retention pond on Wednesday.
Come on, let's go. We got him out of the water.
Video posted to social media showed officers sending rope lines out into the pond while other officers dove in to make the rescue. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
For the latest holiday tech gifts at great prices, Staples has you covered.
I need unbeatable prices on tech for everyone on my nice list.
Staples has you covered with the hottest tech gifts at Black Friday prices. Right now, the new Apple AirPods Pro 2nd generation is just $199 with the Staples Connect app. Plus, save up to $330 off HP, Lenovo, and Asus laptops. The latest tech gifts are at Staples, the working and learning store. Offers end 11/26. Limit one on AirPods. AirPods sale price $229 without app offer. In-store only.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. If you're an SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Goldman Sachs is projecting oil to go up to $100 a barrel. Call 800-278-7455. Call now and learn how to create 20 or more years of potential monthly income. Call 800-278-7455.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump.
May your yams be delicious. May your pies take the prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. Happy Thanksgiving from your friends at WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM and WIRI 105.5 FM. May your Thanksgiving be full of peace, love, and joy.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 27. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 44. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Lows around 32. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Low 50s Saturday, much cooler Sunday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Packer pregame edition. Packers kicking off about 7:15, I think. WRCO FM 100.9. You can listen in southwestern Wisconsin. The rest of you get to a bar, or hopefully you got some Amazon. Like, everyone's got Amazon now. Can't just be my wife. I think, like, almost everyone's got some form of Amazon, right?
Well, except yeah, man. Do you have your own Amazon account, or do you share an account, Kurt?
I must have a shared account, like a company account. No, Ron from Florida set up my Amazon account, if you'll recall, to ship me parts for radio stations. So, no, it's out of my control, Dom. And the fact that I'm letting you lead here for hour two makes me feel just a little out of control. But
oh, you'll be fine.
Folks, I defer
we are the
to you.
Advocates. Heading out to the bar. Thanks for listening. 844-967-2789. Some news here. The Madison.com found this one. The AP reporting the Biden administration plans to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to reinstate the president's student debt cancellation plan, according to a Thursday legal filing warning that Americans will face financial strain if the plan remains stalled in court when loan payments are scheduled to restart in January.
There they go. Democrats trying to buy off the kids again with free money and drugs.
Well, why bother now, man? I mean, the election's over. Why would you take this to the Supreme Court? Oh, yeah, maybe because it's valid. The Justice Department is fighting to keep Biden's plan alive after it was halted by two federal courts in recent weeks. On Thursday, it asked a federal appeals court in New Orleans to suspend a decision striking down the plan. And in the same filing, it announced plans to ask the Supreme Court to overturn a St. Louis appeal court that halted the plan. Of course, the plan promises $10,000 in federal student debt forgiveness to those with incomes of less than $125,000 or households earning less than $250,000, and Pell Grant recipients who typically demonstrate more financial need eligible for an additional $10,000 in relief. Keeping the debt relief on hold would leave the government with an unnecessarily perilous choice, the administration argued in its filing Thursday. If it restarts student loan payments as planned on January 1, millions of Americans will get billed for a debt that was promised to be canceled. But if the government extends a payment pause, it will cost billions of dollars in lost revenue.
Take it to the Supremes, Dom.
Now, as we were rolling into hour two here, I promised our fair audience there is a breaking bit of news from the great state of Wisconsin, at least the consideration of a Wisconsin Supreme Court candidacy by the now famous Judge Jennifer Durow, the judge who presided over the Waukesha parade trial. According to Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Dom, she might jump in. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Durow is considering a campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court after presiding over one of the most high-profile trials in state history, sentencing a man to hundreds of years in prison for killing six people and injuring scores more as he drove through a Christmas parade last year. Now, Dom, on the 21st of this month, there will be remembrances of this occurrence. But I would point out, this sentencing happened yesterday. We were on the air yesterday when the sentence came down, six life in prisons. Today, she's considering a run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Durow, 51, was appointed to the Waukesha County bench, wait for it, by former Wisconsin Governor Republican Scotty Wanker. She considers a run to replace retiring conservative Justice Patience Rogensack, who's leaving the court this year and setting up a battle for control that the conservatives now hold a 4-3 majority of. Already in the race are former conservatives and big loser Dan Kelly, right? Who was appointed to the court by Wanker at 16 and was defeated in his first election by Jill Karofsky. 2020, she beat his ass by 163,000 votes.
Ouch.
I can understand why the, you know, the conservatives, those that would want, you know, to buttress up the 4-3 conservative majority on the court, well, they may not want loser Dan Kelly on
right.
the ballot,
Somebody
right?
else, please.
Also, Dom, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, he's appeared on this show, a former prosecutor and presiding judge of the county's juvenile division, and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasewicz, a longtime assistant prosecutor, are also running for the seat as quote-unquote liberal candidates. Dom, the primary, February 21st, the spring election, the most important election of 2023, April 4th. And it is a priority around
well,
here.
Well, a few reasons why, as Molly Beck points out, Republicans and Democrats are putting a priority on the 2023 Supreme Court race, as the court will play a key role in how lawsuits over the state's abortion law, the state's legislative and congressional maps, and the outcome of the 2024 presidential election are likely to be handled. Very important. In 2020, the state's highest court blocked a slate of legal challenges from former President Trump and his allies to overturn the 21,000 vote victory by Biden. Trump announced Tuesday he's running again for president.
By one vote, by Hagedorn. It was a 4-3. The state of Wisconsin was carried by one justice's vote. Hagedorn, sorry to interrupt.
Durow considers a campaign after receiving national attention and praise over her handling of the trial of Daryl Brooks, whom she sentenced to six consecutive life sentences for each death he caused as he drove his SUV through a Waukesha Christmas parade last year, and more than 1,000 more years for the injuries resulting from the attack. She received cards, letters, emails, and even a telegram from dozens of states and a few other English-speaking countries where people were watching a court TV live stream of the trial. Dozens of people who watched the live stream of the 3.5-week trial wrote to congratulate Durow on her patience, knowledge, and demeanor while dealing with Brooks, who continually interrupted her, ignored her rulings while representing himself. Durow is a graduate of Marquette University and Regent University School of Law. She's been licensed to practice law in Wisconsin since 96 and serves as the chief judge in the 3rd Judicial Administrative District. And I would say this, given, you know, obviously the profile of this case and how the convict represented himself and presented himself, I thought she did a great job. I mean, literally, what a crap show that could have turned into, and I think she held court very professionally.
Well, I am not here to criticize her demeanor in the courtroom and the handling of the Daryl Brooks trial, but I don't know that in and of herself, this newfound celebrity, I don't know that qualifies her to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Dom. You know, just having name recognition. I mean, really, that's all she's got for her. And
But Dean County Judge Everett Mitchell, a former guest of ours, former prosecutor and presiding judge over the juvenile division, does that qualify him? I mean, she's a judge, he's a judge. Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, longtime assistant prosecutor. She qualified. Remember, they're all judges. How is that? And I get the, you know, leanings right or left, but how was she any less qualified than the other liberal leaning candidates?
I'm not suggesting that she is unqualified. I think the timing conspicuous, less than 24 hours after the sentencing hearing of Daryl Brooks.
Sure.
This is on the front page of the Journal Sentinel being announced that she's strongly considering a candidacy, Dom.
Was Gableman qualified? Was Daniel Kelly qualified?
Was an appointment. Gableman was corrupted through the election. I mean, the guy broke all sorts of ethical standards. The problem here in the state of Wisconsin is Supreme Court justices get to set their own ethical standards. And the fact that
you have Supreme Court justices.
Well, yes, very similar. Hell, we had a Supreme Court Justice Republican, David Prosser, now retired. Prosser was the recipient of multiple million-dollar donations in support of his campaign, and the very donating party came before the court. I believe it was Wisconsin Club for Growth. I don't mean to get that wrong. And his explanation for why he would not recuse himself is that it had been over a year since they had spent literal millions of dollars in support of his candidacy. And, you know, since it had been longer than a year, he didn't feel like he was corrupted any longer.
No longer corrupted. Too much time has passed. I'm no longer corrupted. I'm good.
The history of this court is long and arduous, Dom.
Who was a choker? Who tried to choke someone?
Prosser.
That was Prosser. Yeah, that literally, like, physically attacked some. Who did he attack?
Depends on your point of view, because, again, the only ones that could stand in judgment of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, be it Gableman and his ethical violations when he ran for the court, or be it Prosser choking out one of his fellow colleagues, his justices. I mean, you know, just as an HR problem, Dom, that would be a problem in our workplace.
Yeah, right. No doubt. But it seems like a toxic work environment. I mean, call me crazy, but I don't think that should be allowed.
But when you get to stand in judgment of think Clarence Thomas and failure to recuse on his own wife's text messages to Mark Meadows. In fact, he was the lone dissenter, 8-1, right? Well, now you see how Prosser served. And now you know how probably most Republicans, at least historically here on this court, have served. Now, the oddball, if you will, is Hagedorn. I mean, I've got to give him a little bit of credit. Hagedorn actually has shown a little judicial independence, but he was less qualified. Hagedorn was less qualified than his opponent. Lisa Neubauer sits on the Court of Appeals. And quite frankly, the only point I was making is an appellate court judge is better prepared for this than someone that sits on the district court. Why? Because it's their role to review the rulings of others. Because really, when it goes up the chain, up to the appellate court, to the state Supreme Court,
yeah,
you're no longer hearing testimony. That's not the nature of the job. So I'm not saying that makes her less qualified, Doro, than her opponents. I think the timing, again, conspicuous. You know, this obviously is going to her head a little bit. Maybe it gets her elected in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, and as you mentioned, though, Curry, I think it's a great point. Daniel Kelly losing by over 160,000 votes last time he ran as the Republican, one to run for this office. Perhaps the majority of other Republicans think that he may not be the one to do it again. So they're looking for someone else. They're recruiting. She's probably recruited, man. I'm not sure that this is something she necessarily stepped up, but international coverage of Doro.
Recruited by Trump or someone more important still? Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You got nothing else better to do. Keep listening.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it on the dance floor. Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 29. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 45. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 33. Partly cloudy Saturday with daytime highs approaching 54. 39, chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we're going to have a fine guest on tomorrow's show, former U.S. attorney and our good friend James Santel. And if you haven't tuned into his big show, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, Morning Cannolis, hosted by Jim Santel. Saturday mornings, right here on the Civic Media Network, right up to Badger kickoff at 11. Dom, a little legal update. One of the Oath Keepers in trial today, Oath Keeper Jessica Watkins, lost her cool in court Thursday, according to reporters in the room. Mother Jones reporter Dan Friedman was live tweeting the trial, dealing with the crime surrounding the January 6th attack on Congress. Watkins, an Army veteran from Ohio, has said that the jury is already against her, testifying before the court on Wednesday. Now, understanding, when a defense attorney puts his client on the stand, that's a bit of a sign of desperation. Testifying before the court on Wednesday, she, being Watkins, the defendant, described herself as another idiot. At any point, did anyone say, or her attorney asking her questions on the stand, at any point did anyone say, now it's time to enter the Capitol, now it's time to stop the certification? No, sir, Watkins said. I thought the certification was over. Once inside, however, Watkins said she became more pissed off over what she called the stolen election, as well as pain due to broken ribs. By today, she was asked by Assistant U.S. Attorney Alexandria Hughes about her experience and her testimony. Here's a quote from Hughes, the prosecutor. Dom, despite the fact you were charged with obstructing an official proceeding, you never said that you believed that there was no official proceeding to obstruct. That's when Watkins lost her cool talking about her fight with police. I was angry. I accepted full responsibility for what happened in this hallway, and I know that opens me up to criminal responsibility. I know that I'm going to get charged. She lightly meant convicted, Dom. I know I'm going to get charged for it. I get it. And when she was pressed on her claim that her violent rhetoric didn't connect to her conduct on January 6th, Friedman said that Watkins completely lost her composure and said loudly, understand Friedman being the reporter, Watkins being the defendant, that said, half this country feels this way still. Half this country still feels disenfranchised by this election. We didn't have a free and fair election. Friedman said it seemed like a disaster for defense attorneys. Yes, I think she probably should not have been on the stand, in her own defense. It really didn't make her look any better.
You know, free and fair elections, half of you believe that. Do you still believe it? We just went through the midterms, right? And the Republicans, hey, you got a slim majority in the House, but you know, you lost the Senate. Yeah, you may have lost one seat in the Senate. Are you screaming about that? What is it about that? And not only that, if there was this big, massive fraud, don't you think all those people who were disenfranchised would be motivated to come out and make sure that that doesn't happen again? Well, the trend continued. Republicans continue to underperform. They continue to lie to their constituents. They continue to talk about the steal, the big steal. This is what they do. But there's no evidence of that. If you look at the trend, yeah, it seems right. Donald Trump lost the House, lost the Senate. Hell, we heard former Speaker Paul Ryan articulate all the losses. Loser's going to lose. Donald Trump continued to lose, and they lost this election. Although, you know, some will say they gained some seats in the House, so that's a victory, but it wasn't what it should have been, what would have historically have been, because Donald Trump is a loser. And you didn't see, you know, a big red wave. It did not happen because the American people, just like they did in the last election, had their votes counted accurately and fairly.
Tom, we have another legal update, this one from the civil courts, where Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg is, falling on the sword, Tom? What's he doing?
Oh, no, you got that one. Okay, I got a different one. You go there if you got it, Kurti, because I have CBS reporting on this as well. So if
long
you have
time,
something specific, let's hear it.
Well, raw story, baby. Yeah. Longtime Trump Org CFO Alan Weisselberg has fallen on his sword and is saying that he alone was to blame for the accounting tricks he used to fraudulently evade taxes. I mean, that's the sort of loyalty Trump loves, Dom. Go to prison for the man. They're going to bump him up to 15 years. As reported by the Daily Beast, Jose Trump Organization attorney Ellen Butterfoss on Thursday worked to separate Weisselberg from the former president Donald Trump's company by getting him to testify under oath that the Trump family had no part in his tax evasion schemes. During questioning, Butterfuss asked Weisselberg whether he schemed with any Trump family member, to which Weisselberg replied no. When Butterfuss asked Weisselberg why Weisselberg committed tax fraud, he replied, "It was my own personal greed that led to this." Remember when Pantangeli was in the back of the courtroom? The Corleone trial and the Godfather.
Yeah, they brought a brother in from Sicily.
Yeah. A little bit more here. He then asked Weisselberg if he was really saying that the Trump family, who signed the checks as part of his scheme, were really the victims in this scenario. It was your responsibility to protect this family from these kinds of problems, correct? Correct, Weisselberg replied. The Butterfuss, again, Butterfuss, the attorney, then grilled Weisselberg about his role and made him so upset that his voice cracked. "Are you embarrassed because of what you did?" "More than you can imagine," Weisselberg replied. "Are you ashamed?" "Very much so." That's something that Donald Trump has never felt, right?
Shame? Oh, he feels it. He just shoves it way down.
You think
he is so shameful and insecure and little. He knows it. That's why he acts the way he does. As a narcissist, it's hard, man. It's hard to know that you're less than worthy.
How did they get to Weisselberg?
Oh, I got more on this, Kurti. CBS. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates coming back. Join us 844-967-2789.
Did you say Spanky was in a lot of trouble?
This council has no hesitation in proclaiming you all guilty.
Right to jail, right away.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra.
Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from Ascos, Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to Ascos, Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM, The Shaw, and WAUK 540 AM.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sending good wishes to you and your family this holiday season. Good food that fills your table, good health as you work hard, and good times with family and friends. May you have all the best delights in life and feel the gratitude of the season. The WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, and WIRI 105.5 team would like to wish a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. From Pam, Chuck, Steph, Ashley, Randy, Tim, Don, James, Seth, and Melissa, happy Thanksgiving.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 27. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 44. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Lows around 32. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Low 50s Saturday, much cooler Sunday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
package that affected some tabulators on Election Day, which officials in Maricopa County said they fixed after adjusting the printer settings. I always get very frustrated when I can't print stuff, Dom. That's very nefarious. I always think it's nefarious when the printer won't work for me. Lake pointed to long waits to vote as something nefarious, citing a man who went to three different polling places due to lines and is not sure his vote was counted. Now, she didn't specify why his vote wouldn't have counted. Again, from her earlier missive, Dom. For 2 years, I've been sounding the alarm about our broken election system here in Arizona. Our elections officials failed us miserably. What happened to Arizonans is unforgivable. She did not concede, Dom.
Nor
I see
will
a lawsuit coming.
Well, of course. Of course it is. And so recount it. Have at it. Have at it. I am confident in our electoral process. And if she wants to do something about it, she wants to go to court, just like Trump did with the 61 out of 62 court cases that he lost, you have that right. But if you go and file frivolous BS, they will come after you, as well they should.
Now, do you think her and Wisconsin Republican Secretary of State candidate Amy Loudenback could call up, like Marjorie Taylor Greene's attorney James Bopp and get a 2-for-1 special on election denialism, Dom? Do you think he'd do him a solid? Because remember in court when they questioned what he was charging, and first and foremost, he was casting aspersions at some other lawyer making $4.50 an hour. And they said, well, do you make that? Oh, way more. So it gets pricey, man. You gotta save where you can. Election denialism doesn't come without cost.
Right.
It's about
ain't
your
free.
Checkbook and democracy.
844-967-2789. I got a couple of the legal updates, Curdy. Just from CBS, I know you read some of the pieces from the defense attorney talking to Alan Weisselberg, they keep saying former Trump Organization CFO, but apparently he's not been fired from this position, according to testimony yesterday. But here's what CBS is reporting, just a little information. Weisselberg said Donald Trump, or at times Eric Trump or Donald Trump Jr., signed checks to pay up to $100,000 for private school tuition for Weisselberg's grandchildren. Way to go, Grandpa. Weisselberg said he then instructed the company's controller to deduct the $100,000 from his salary, allowing him to report a smaller income. Copies of some of the checks signed by the Trumps have been shown in court. Weisselberg said the first time Trump signed a tuition check, Weisselberg told him, don't forget, I'm going to pay you back for this. The payback, he said, was a salary reduction. Two Trump Organization entities and Weisselberg are accused of more than a dozen counts of fraud and tax evasion. He entered a guilty plea in August, admitted to charges filed by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, accusing him of receiving more than $1.7 million in untaxed compensation. Weisselberg, as mentioned, is still on the Trump's payroll, has over the first 2 days of testimony described a litany of benefits he and other executives received for which he said their salaries were simply reduced to avoid paying taxes. He said for himself and several other executives, the salary reductions were then mitigated by hefty bonus checks to the executives if they were independent contractors for the Trump Organization entities. Trump said he always wanted to sign the bonus checks before he became president in 2017. The practice ceased during the next 2 years after an internal review led to changes at the company. We're going through a company-wide cleanup process to make sure that since Mr. Trump was now president, everything was being done properly. So not only were they playing the game of providing, taking money, paying for expenses under the guise of business expenses, fraudulent business expenses, and they account for it by reducing their own salary. Of course, then they don't have to pay the FICA, and the Trump Organization doesn't have to pay the FICA because it's an expense, right? Quote unquote. And then this additional part, this independent contractor, this 1099 status, is also a ruse, man.
A little sketchy.
You can't be an employee of an organization and also 1099 the organization. To my understanding, I'm not sure how that works. If you're an employee, you're an employee.
Well, I could see that being the case, Dom. I work for a fine corporation in civic media, and then I have this other side gig I do with you. We're radio stars, man. We got different hats we wear.
Also, the news, Curdy, just keeps on coming. Can we honestly say now that Russian money went to Donald Trump? And here's what I mean. Rachel Warner reporting at the Washington Post. A Republican political strategist was convicted of illegally helping a Russian businessman contribute to Trump's presidential campaign in 2016. Jesse Benton, who was pardoned by Trump in 2020 for a different campaign finance crime months before he was indicted again on six counts related to facilitating an illegal foreign campaign donation. He was found guilty Thursday on all six counts.
Remember when we have seen earlier reporting that perhaps the Russians utilized the NRA to funnel money back to the campaigns of different domestic candidates? Wasn't Ron Johnson on that list?
Was he? I don't recall. I know you have a better memory than I.
Well, I wouldn't bring it up if I wasn't fairly confident.
Elections, quote, reflect the values and the priorities and the beliefs of American citizens, Assistant U.S. Attorney Michelle Parikh said in her closing argument this week. Jesse Benton, by his actions, did damage to those principles. Evidence at trial showed Benton bought a $25,000 ticket to the September 2016 RNC event on behalf of Roman Vasilenko, a Russian naval officer turned multi-level marketer. Multi-level marketing? Oh, Crudy, we bring three of your friends and they each bring three of their friends and we can sell you some soap. He's under investigation in Russia for allegedly running a pyramid scheme, you know, multi-level marketing. The donation got Vasilenko a picture with Trump and an entrance to a business roundtable with the future president. Vasilenko connected with Benton through Doug Weed, an evangelical ally of the Bush family who was also involved in multi-level marketing. Vasilenko sent $100,000 to Benton, who was working for a pro-Trump super PAC at the time, supposedly for consulting services. Benton subsequently donated $25,000 to the RNC by credit card to cover the ticket. You know, just a little money laundering action going on there. So, yes, Russian money went to Donald Trump's campaign. You can all say it. And if you're out there Republican, CJ, you know, whatever other Republicans, just so you know that happened.
You know, I was just reading up on Maria Butina and Alexander Torshin. Yes. And the headline here at NPR, this is a couple years old now, about three. NRA was foreign asset to Russia ahead of 2016. New Senate report reveals. Now, that was the Democrat report, led by Ron Wyden. But the Republicans, they said, oh, that's overblown. You know, you pointing out the fact that Russian money was funneled through the NRA back to Republican senatorial candidates. Nothing to see here. Move along. Just saying.
Just saying.
Now, Ron Wyden sought an IRS probe, Don, but I haven't actually seen any news of that. But what do we hear the Republicans talking a lot about? Got to overturn that decision to hire 87,000 new IRS agents, because they're worried they might be exposed.
Well, if not them, certainly their donors?
Probably. 844-967-2789. Yes, I think it is fair to say, Dom, that Russian money certainly was part of Donald Trump's campaign. We've seen a number of convictions. They didn't care where the money was coming from. They were cashing all the checks.
Mm-hmm.
Ruples, dollars, pounds, lira, whatever, man, bring it all. Now, of course, foreign people, foreign entities are not supposed to put their money into U.S. elections. But then again, you know, your campaign manager is not supposed to work for free, see Paul Manafort, and, you know, his payoff is not supposed to be sharing inside polling from a U.S. presidential candidate with a Russian agent linked to the KGB, see Mr. Kalimnik.
Konstantin Kalimnik, yes. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if people are not going to believe it, they're not going to believe it. They're fine with it. They're fine with it. I don't even know what to say anymore, man. I can't go back so much and repeat.
Cleaned it all up for the Republicans with all those convictions. And oh, yeah. Nothing burger. So, in other words, the Steele dossier, although I've seen it said discredited, I haven't really seen it discredited, not through the Durham report. Not the allegations made many different ways by the Mueller report. Certainly we know that Trump was obstructing justice, obstructing the investigation, because he knew he was guilty, Dom. He knew in different ways he had corruptly done business with the Russians. I mean, Michael Cohen gave testimony that effectively Donald Trump was still negotiating with Russia to put a 50-story Trump Tower in Moscow. And what do you always say, Dom? And give Putin the penthouse, the cherry on top. They were actively negotiating that during Trump's first presidential campaign. Of course, he denied it at the time, but it was acknowledged after the fact. You know, only abandoned once he actually won.
Oh, my God, he won. I can't believe he won. You know, this other trial, and maybe you can help me out here, Crudy. With Weisselberg and all this, we have to assume, based on the testimony, the Trump org trial for civil charges,
but if they're successful, they could effectively end the Trump organization, end Trump's real estate holdings. They wouldn't be able to run their own company.
But is this also going to be where the same trial, or is it different when they're talking about the valuations? You know, they'd increase the valuations for, you know, loans, for example,
That is not what is at trial here. What is at trial is the actions of the CFO, Weisselberg. He has pled guilty already. Now, he is not a cooperating witness with federal prosecutors, which really leaves me in this question mark of what status does he have? Why would you offer him less prosecution? I mean, he's subject to up to 15 years in federal prison. If he does not give any sort of testimony against his former boss, if he's willing to go fall on the sword and then do 5 months, no way, no way. If his testimony is not instrumental to the conviction, in this case, a civil conviction, but there are alleged crimes by this corporation. And if Weisselberg's not giving testimony, if he's saying, oh, no, it was all just me, then he needs to do 15 years. Or he can give up, you know, the boss.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they said to me, I brought it in, and then I just, you know, bada, 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 and, you know, that's what happened, you know.
I do know, Dom. I do know. And one last moment to linger on the connection between the NRA and Marina Butina. And I would point out the former presidential candidate, failed candidate, Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin. Remember when he met Maria Butina, Alexander Torshin, then he lied about it?
Yes.
He claimed he met him, like, just in, you know, the masses.
But they were actually
these Russian agents. She is now a convicted spy that Scott Walker did greet, according to his own account, in the mother Russian that he learned at Marquette University, he claims. And when he met her and Alexander Torshin, they were heading up the Right to Bear Arms organization. They're the ones that took Amy Clark. Russia. They're also the ones linked to the funneling of this money through the NRA. But the wanker claimed, oh, this was just a rope line. I didn't know this woman, except it was at the VIP room in Nashville of the NRA convention. And then later, Dom, in September, the day after Wanker signed the budget here in the state of Wisconsin and declared his presidential ambitions after running a shadow campaign for nearly a year, guess who was in the crowd? Convicted Russian
Maria
spy. Maria Butina, now convicted. Just then.
Now in government in Russia, my understanding.
Scott Walker, he wishes he were in government. Come back. More Dom.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursday. Wednesdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with lows around 29. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, highs level off around 47. Lows level off around 33 tomorrow night. Clear skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 53. 41, chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Curdy, I want to be get some clarity here. Right now, the Weisselberg, he's testifying against the Trump Organization on this particular tax issue. The other one is, of course, what was announced from Letitia James, a $250 million suit against Trump and his organization for engaging in years of financial fraud to acquire commercial real estate. Now, here's my thing. So Weisselberg is essentially falling on the sword right now. So he's not testifying against Donald Trump, that Donald Trump knew, this is all me and my greed. But I'm wondering how this goes to the next trial, right? Because if you're involved with a controller to fraudulently, reduce your own taxes and the corporation's taxes in this and this one trial. Well, certainly you probably are aware of the other games that we're playing with the inflating of assets and deflating of assets, depending on who your audience was. Right. So I'm wondering how that will flow from this particular trial into that one. Will Weisselberg be a witness in that trial? After this one concludes, I mean, there's so much going on right now, but those are two very separate cases.
Dominic, a little bit of the reporting originally sourced from CNN. Testifying in court, Weisselberg revealed that not only is he still employed and being paid by the Trump org, but the scheme also went on, the illegal tax scheme also went on until Donald Trump was sworn into the presidency. And prying eyes started looking at his company. Mr. Trump became president. This is a quote. Mr. Trump became president. Everyone was looking at our company from every different angle you could think of, including himself personally. We felt at the time, let's go through all the practices that we've been utilizing over the years and make sure we correct everything we have to correct. Clean up the books. You know what I'm saying, Dom? Weisselberg also testified that the company handing out executives bonuses using the 1099 independent contractor forms began in the 80s before his time began in 1986. Predated him, Dom. He had no idea how it began. And the Mazars accounting firm turned over Trump's tax information after years of litigation to obtain it. Once it was explored, it became clear that the perks being given to staff was happening under the table. Mazars executive Donald Bender told Weisselberg at the time that the bonus checks were only meant for independent contractors or self-employed individuals and not W-2s. He didn't love the idea, Weisselberg confessed. The practice didn't end to make matters worse, Weisselberg testified. Donald Trump always wanted to sign the bonus checks. The comment came after Weisselberg said that he alone was responsible for the accounting tricks. So he contradicted his own testimony. That's called perjury, Dom. Two entities in the Trump org umbrella are charged with 9 counts of tax fraud, grand larceny, and falsifying business records under a 15-year scheme to defraud the IRS by failing to report the bonuses and perks. But I got to tell you, Dom, I think juries are fairly shrewd. and they're sitting there and they're paying attention. And if Weisselberg on the stand is perjuring himself, if he's giving contradictory testimony, I don't think they're going to believe him when he says, no, Trump didn't know anything when I say it this time, but he always signed the bonuses. But he didn't know what he was signing? A control freak narcissist that didn't like to pay people like Donald Trump? Are you freaking kidding me? The jury's going to see through this.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to believe. And on top of that, again, knowing that this is the culture, the environment within the Trump organization, back to the other lawsuit filed by Tish James regarding the fraud. Donald Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to unjustly enrich himself and cheat the system. In fact, the very foundation of his purported net worth is rooted in incredible fraud and illegality. I mean, so, and again, to think that, you know, Weisselberg or that the controller who Weisselberg worked with on this other scheme were not aware of that scheme, it's blows my mind, dude, really. I mean, it can't possibly be the case.
Dom, I'm not a legal expert, although I'd like to play one on the radio occasionally, but here is something I would point out for your sake and the audience. The standard here is not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
The standard is a civil standard, a preponderance of the evidence. If it's 51-49, you're guilty.
And if they take, if in a civil case you take the fifth, that can be used against you.
Yes, in a civil court of law. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak to the phones. Bill from Madtown, how you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Great. Great. How are you guys?
Awesome, man.
Not bad, man. Packers kicking off in like 90 minutes.
Sure. First off, I got to say, your greeter guy does an awesome job, and he's always very friendly.
Well, we don't have him trained right then, Bill.
Evan, thank you, man. You're a pro, brother.
But I was really calling about, you know, we're talking about all this money coming in from weird places. Is anyone going to talk about this FTX debacle tree that was going on? And
Bill, that's a,
I don't know if you guys,
yeah, the cryptocurrency exchange, and this guy that was running, yeah, it was worth like $20 billion like a week and a half ago, and at least $500 million was stolen of consumer money. I've been telling my kid all along, there's no underlying value to cryptocurrency, it's just what people think it's worth, and that's not something to bet on. But anyways, Bill, if you mean that the FTX exchange guy was a prominent Democratic donor, yeah, man, I think that does need to be looked into. Yes, sir. And I don't care who's taking the money, Bill. There are only certain ways that federal candidates can accept money. Now, there's lots of ways to skirt it. There's super PACs and all that kind of stuff. But if these people were accepting illegal payments, illegal donations, effectively, Bill, they should be prosecuted, just like I would hope Republicans are. Unfortunately, the FEC, the investigatory body, the regulatory body, is much like the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's a quote-unquote bipartisan panel, you know, equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans, and that's done with purpose, Bill, so they never, I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on, we're all left wanting, sir, because the FEC, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, can never really hold people accountable in a true way. I mean, the FEC is feckless, Bill, and it's unfortunate. If there's wrongdoing with the FTC exchange,
well, right,
and donations,
you set up an organization to control and make sure people are, you know, getting money properly, and then you set it up with a, you know, a split
door
down the middle, and nothing happens. Well, all that does is invite, you know, foreign money to come into this country, which happens a lot.
Folks, you've been listening to what some say is the greatest radio program ever.
It's true.
We got a damn good screener. Lightly screens them most days. Now, stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. The Empowered Caregivers here in Madison, raised in the Wisco. And then, of course, Packer kickoff. It's going to be a big night. Hope you enjoy it.
Austin. Put a decimal point in the wrong place or something. I always do that. I always mess up some mundane detail.
Maybe we could launder the money.
I can't believe what a bunch of nerds we are. We're looking up.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM. From the